Okay, so I wanted to talk tonight on Parshas Vayetzara a little bit about the name Kiryas Arba and the name Marsa Machpelah. Okay, there's two Rashis and a Ramban. So the Pasuk is Parak Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk Beis. Says Atama Sarah, be Kiryas Arba hi Chevron beretz Canaan. So Sarah died in Kiryas Arba, which is Chevron in Canaan. Avraham was supposed to live Kosa. So she died in Kiryas Arba. So what's Kiryas Arba? So Rashi says a few pshatim, two pshatim. The first pshat is which we're not going to take up. Al Shem Arba Anakim Shayisham, the four giants. Achiman Sheshai v'Tamai v'Aviam. Okay, let's leave that alone. Dover Acher, Hashem Arba Zugos Shnik Brusham Heshvishta. There are four pairs that were buried there, man and his wife, Adam v'Chava, Avram v'Sara, Yitzchak v'Rivka, Yaakov v'Leah. Right. So it's called Kiryas Arba for the corresponding to the four pairs that were buried there. Right? Okay. So, what do you guys think about that? Okay, so it's called Kiryas Arba, corresponding to the four couples that are buried there. Adam Chava, and so on, right? And Abbas Nimas. Okay. Yeah, try again. What's that? Okay, yeah, I think it means a city, no? I think so. Okay, yeah, Tamar, you were saying? Yeah, you mean, yeah, we won't elaborate what you mean by that? Right. I mean, it's funny to call it Kiryas Arba based upon these events which haven't happened yet. Right? I mean, Adam and Chava, you could argue, were buried there previously. But Avram and Sarah weren't yet, and certainly not Yitzchak and Rivka and Yaakov and Leah. Right? So to say that the name of the place is Kiryas Arba because of that, because the four couples who are married there, who are buried there, I'm sorry, it seems like a stretch, right? Is it like, is it a nevuah when they named the place that they knew there would be four couples buried there? Right? Okay. Good. And the same theme comes up a little later in the parasha, where it's called Marasa Machpelah, where he's looking for this land, Marasa Machpelah. Right? So, it says, V'yitain li, this is in Pasuk Tes, es Marasa Machpelah Ashela. Big Omer. So he's asking that Ephraim should give him this Marasa Machpelah. And Rashi says, Bayis V'aliya al Gabav. So why is it Machpelah? Machpelah means like double. Right? Doubled or folded, doubled. So it says a bias and an attic on top. So it's double. It's like a two-layer cave. Okay. Davar Acher, Rashi says, Shekvula Bezugos. It's Kachpela because it's doubled in its pairs. Okay. Doubled with couples. Okay. So they're buried there. And there's couples buried there. Right. So Machpela is because the couples... So again, the same kind of thing, the same kind of question Tamar's asking, the chronological problem, is that it seems like he's asking for Marasa Machpelah. Now, there weren't couples there yet, right? Unless you'll say Adam and Chava, but that's only one couple. It's funny to call a place Marasa Machpelah because a couple is only one couple there. Right? Okay, good. Any other questions?
How did he know the place?
How do you know the place?
Was it like Islam?
How do you know? How do you know what place? Oh, okay, good. Yeah, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. Give me 1 second here. I'm just looking if I can find the. Oh, yeah. And says, yeah, how did he know? I mean, how did he know that this was the place where Adam was buried? Right? I mean, was that, right, how was that? Was that well known somehow? Right? That's a good question. Right? Okay. Yeah, okay, good. 1 second. Yeah, okay, so that's a good question. How do you know, right? Okay, now another question is... Yeah, okay, any other questions? I hear it's a good question you're asking, Naomi. Okay, what else? Any other questions?
I mean, why would he care?
Why would he care? Why would he care what? Where Adam is buried?
To be where Adam and Chava were.
Okay, good. Good. So let's say I say, well, why did he care that? Why did Yitzhak Kidu care to be buried where Avram was, or Yaakov? Is that the same question, or that's a different question?
Yaakov, you
said? Yeah, like Yaakov wanted to be buried in Mount Machpelah, and Yitzhak, right? So.
I think that's it's a good question, but it's a separate question.
Okay.
It's like why all the others weren't together. Maybe right. It's different from. I mean, right. Maybe it's the same thing. I don't.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So, yeah, so like well, the whole idea of Maaseh Machpelah, so what's the point, right? So the Ramban, on at the end of the Perek, in Pasuk Yud Tas, he says, and now, I mean, there's more you could say about this, but he just says, the reason why the Torah tells us this Parsha is, one among other reasons, is Ki Ratzah Lo'odia Lo'odianu Makom Kvuras Avos. So he wanted to tell us the Makom, the place where the Avos are buried. V'asher Anachnu Chayavan L'Chabed Makom Kvuras Avoseinu HaKadoshim, because we have to give honor to the Makom, the place where our Avos Kedoshim are buried. Okay? So we have to give honor to that place. Which is, you know, reasonable that here it is, the Avos, are the foundation of our Das, of our religion. And it's valuable that we identify with the Avos. You see, the Torah went out of its way to tell us all the stories about the Avos and how they lived their lives, and we have a lot to learn from them. And when they're not just some abstract characters in a book that we have, but there's a place where they're buried, that we know of, and we could go there, and we could think about them, and for the Am, it makes them more real. You give honor to that place, means you give honor to them, and you live by their lives. They're much more real to Klal Yisrael as a whole, being that there's a specific place where they're all together, and we go, and we can think about their lives, and gain inspiration. Right? You see, even Kalev, when he felt pressure from the Meraglim, he went to Hebron to think into the lives of the Avos and to get that strength from their lessons, right? But the question is what about Adam and Chava? It's a little strange. I mean, they're not our Avos or Imaos. Like, how did they get into Maaseh Machpelah? And the Psukim don't tell us anything about that. Right? The Psukim don't tell us anything about Adam being buried in any special spot and Avram specifically looking for that spot. It just sounds like Avram's looking for a place. He's living there in Hebron with, Ephron and whatever. He wanted a plot of land. This was a good plot of land. Is there any indication that he was looking for the burial plot of Adam? And like Naomi said, how did he even know? Was there a Mesorah? This is the Adam and Chava cemetery. It doesn't sound like that. It sounds like it was a cave in a field of Ephron, right? Just a random field with a cave, and he wanted to bury him there, right? So for Chazal to just put in, oh yeah, by the way, this is also Adam and Chava, And you kind of need it because keres arba, you need four pairs. So without on the mechava, you don't quite explain your four. You know, machpelah, you could say without them. You could say machpelah, just pairs, couples, so you could have three couples, fine. But like keres arba is four couples, so you got to get a fourth couple. So what they just, Chazal just dug up on the mechava and put them there? Right? So, this is a little bothersome. Now, there's a Ramban who's not too happy with Rashi. Okay? So, he says like this. this is a Ramban on Maaseh Machpelah, on Pasuk, Tas, I guess. So he says, Maaseh Machpelah. He quotes Rashi. Loshon Rashi, Bayis Ve'aliyah Al Gabav. Right, it has a roof and an attic, or a house and an attic, two levels. Davarach Shekvula Bezugos, it has couples. He says, Ve'enei Lachon, it's not proper. Okay? It's not proper. Okay, why? Ki Akosav Amar Sedei Efron Asher Ba'Machpelah. It says, the Pasuk says, later on, it says there's the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah. So what do you see? You see that Machpelah isn't just the name of the cave, Machpelah is the name of the city. So the Ephron Asher Machpelah. Right? Vihinehu Shem Makom Asher Ba'Sadah. So apparently that was the name of the location in which the field was. Right? So it's not, you can't tell me that it's Maaseh Machpelah because it's a doubled cave. It's not the name of the cave, it's the name of the place. And Maaseh Machpelah just means the cave in Machpelah. Right? So you're going to say the name of the place was because of couples, because of double, you know, the pairs, or because of the two layers? And he says, Rahman continues, Ain't Sorach, Lavakesh, Tal, Mashem, and Makamos. So anyways, this is the name of the town. So you don't have to explain why was the town named that way. What kind of thing is that? I mean, every town has a name. Are you going to start being Doresh, every single town's name, come up with some sort of whole explanation for it? This is the town, isn't it? If it was the name of the cave, you say, that's a funny thing. Why are you calling the cave by a name? Maaseh Machpelah, it's just a cave. Oh, so then you could say, you have to explain, there must be something significant, there are double, two layers, couples, fine. But if you're saying it's the name of the place, so now every place has to have a name. Now you're going to say, why is it called that? I don't know, whatever it's going to be called. You're going to come up with some explanation. You come up with anything. So he's saying, there's no, you don't have to explain that a place is a place. Right? So he's just saying it's hard to, he doesn't like that Rashi's kind of saying, this is why the place, the cave, the place, this name that. Okay? You with me so far? So then the Ramban says, but I know that Rashi, there's a Medrash which he's going to quote, which is also seemingly trying to explain this Lashon of Machpelah. So he says, Bereshis Rabba Amru, Shekafal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kamaso Shel Adam HaRishon, V'Kvar HaBasocha. And this is a little strange, but it says that Hashem folded the height of Adam HaRishon, folded Adam HaRishon in half, and buried him inside of it. And that's in the cave, and that's why it's called Machpelah. Right? Because Adam was very tall. So the thing is, Hashem folded him in half, and then buried him there, and that's why it's called Machpelah. Right? Right? Which is strange. But it does sound that you're giving an explanation for the name of the place, but what do you mean? I thought, how could you tell me that's why it's called Machpelah, but it had a point that the Ramban made earlier, that it's the name of the town, not just the name of the cave. So the Ramban explains, Valdaitam, according to them, this Medrash, Hayakala Makamahunik Kemelam. This was the name of the whole location for a long time. It's an old, age-old name. But, Mehim Lay Adutaim, they didn't know why it was called that. Right? They don't know why it was called that. It really was called that because Adam was buried there. Right? But they didn't know why. Ki Ephraim is me'a sada makalo hakol. I'll take the shame shun kever. Because it sounds like he's saying is when Ephraim sold the field, he just sold him a field. It didn't sound like Ephraim was selling him a place there's an ordinary field price. It doesn't sound like there was the special place that Adon HaChava were buried. That would have been a much more expensive arrangement. So Raman's saying is it doesn't seem like that was part of the discussion that they knew that. So he's saying is that the Medrash is just saying is that the name of the place was really Machpelah. The reason why it was named that is very, 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 very long time ago. Adam was buried there and Hashem folded him in half. But that became the name of the place. And no one really knew that. It just happened to be that was the case. And the Medrash is saying, by the way, that's why it was called that. Right? Which is kind of strange, right? The whole thing is strange. It's hard to understand. That's even more difficult. Forget the couples that holding Adam in half, and that's like the name of the place, and, you know? Okay. One sec. Just give me one second, okay? Yeah, it's in on top of the bookcase.
Okay,
we have to move on.
You'll find it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, what's that, Essie? I'm sorry.
Can you summarize what the gist of that was? He was rolled in half to be buried there, and therefore the whole area was called Machpelah, but nobody knew why?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Right. It's just funny that the Medrash is telling us that, you know? What's the import of that? Okay.
In other words, like from time immemorial, people were just calling it something and they didn't know that that was the original event.
Right, exactly. And he's saying it must be Ephron didn't know that Adam was buried there because otherwise he would have charged. He would have made that part of the negotiating point. He never said that. So what I'm saying is it seems like no one knew that really. It's just the Medrash is telling us that. It's funny though, because if they didn't know it, so how do we know it? What? Oh, did it wash them up? I don't know.
How would anyone know where anything would be?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. Right, good question. Right, and how do we know? It's just what they didn't know, but we know now that, by the way, the Medrash is telling us that it was called that because the other one was folded in half. But we have Masorah from Sinai, that that's the case somehow? Yeah, okay, so let's ignore the Ramban, I mean, for now. I mean, I just wanted to read the Ramban because I just wanted to finish reading all the facts here. But let's go back to Rashi, okay? So what do we say? It's funny to say this is why the place was named this, because of the couples, and because of the four couples, right? The whole thing is strange, right? And who cares about Adam and Chava, right? Why are they part of the mix? So how do you think we should deal with the chronological problem? Okay? Just methodologically here, how do you think we should deal with the fact, the question you're asking about, the Tamara's question, is that it's hard to believe, I mean, what's the chronology here? Was the place named that because of the four couples who are going to be buried there in the future? Right? Is that what it meant? Is there like a Nevuah or something? Like how do you deal with that? How would you go forward given that problem? That's a little bit of a problem, right? It's somewhat bothersome. So what would you say to that? Just as an approach. Okay, any thoughts there?
Was it definitely called Kiryat Arba at that time?
It sounds that way. I mean, I guess you could say not. I mean, there are things like that, I think, in the Torah where it says something, and Rashi or something says that it was called that, Al Shem Hasid or something. I guess you could say that. You could say that at that time it was called something else. Well, I mean, Avraham seemed to say Maaseh Machpelah, no? Didn't he say Asher Machpela, there was like a quote almost, right? Biten li asmaras hamachpela asher lo. So that seems to be, it was called that at the time. The Kiryas Arba, just as a Thomas Sarah, the Kiryas Arba, he Chevron. Peretz Kanan. I mean, it sounds like it's the same place, you know, it was at the time, but I guess you don't have to say that. Okay, so I'll tell you what I would say about that. Okay, and this is just a methodological point. It's not a very insightful point, just more to help us move forward. Okay, which is, forget about that problem. Okay, the timing. I don't know, maybe it was called that for some other reason. Right? And the Chazal are just saying, oh, by the way, there's another idea which is important about Maras Machpelah, which also fits in with the name. Kiryas Arba, Maras Machpelah. Right? After all, there were two different pshatim in both of them, right? One of them was the four giants, and the other one was the double, the roof and the attic, and you know? So in other words, I'm saying is, maybe that wasn't. It's a funny to call a place a name based on the future, so maybe, look, it was called that name for some other reason. But Chazal often do is they have an idea, which they want to convey to you, and they say, and it fits into the pasuk, the name of the place, and therefore they are doresh, they're like darshaning the name of a place. Similar to like a person might make up a gematria, okay, a modern day person, not a chazal gematria, but a person might just take a person's name, say the gematria of the Rivka and Yitzchak totals up to Shalom and all Yisrael and Bais Naum and Yisrael. I don't know. It's a Josh, whatever, there's an idea they want to say, and there's a, they could hook the idea into a pasuk, into the name of the place. But not necessarily that that's why the place was named that way, but it's like what they call Nasmachta. Sometimes the Rabbanon set up the Rabbanon, they lean it on a pasuk, they hook it into a pasuk. Gemaras have those types of things. So, I'm saying maybe it was just not that that's the reason for the name, but the reason for the name is something else. Or maybe, somehow, possibly another route is that there was somehow a nevuah or something like that, that the people who named the place had some sort of inspiration and somehow, whatever, got that name of the place. That's, you know, harder for me to fully grasp, but my point is as follows, is that, whatever, who cares? The point is that apparently Chazal want to bring out a concept. You know, if you're naming the place, you're saying the name connects up to this idea of the four couples and the couples, it must be that that's a significant point, which Chazal want to bring your attention to. So how exactly, whether the name was truly named that for that reason, or was named for a different reason, and then it was added on afterwards, either way, there's an idea that Chazal are trying to call your attention to, that Rashi is trying to bring to your attention. And what's more important to me is what's the idea? And how exactly, you know, whether he means it literally was named that because of that, or it was an after-the-fact addition, it doesn't really matter that much. You know, the emphasis, I think, should be on the idea that we, you know, that we gain. Just because there happen to be couples there doesn't necessarily mean that you have to name the place that way. You know, it must be there's some significance of this. Or the four couples, like, what's the point? What's the import of the whole thing? And once you have an idea, perhaps the historical question is less bothersome even. Whatever, however you explain the history of the name, you know, it's less interesting, less significant than the concept which they're trying to bring out. You guys follow me? Yeah, I think that's a good approach in general. Sometimes you have stories in the Gemaras and you say, oh, is that literal? Does it really, had that really happen? Did it, whatever? Sometimes it's like, look, whether it really happened, it didn't really happen, either way, it's the Chazal are trying to teach you an idea. So look, maybe it really happened and there's an idea, maybe they made up a story and teach you an idea. Either way, forget, who cares? The point isn't the history, whether it really happened or didn't really happen. The question is, what's the idea that is trying to be brought, you know? So, I think that's a good point of methodology, is just sometimes those types of questions, although they could be, you know, crippling, because you don't know how to say it, that it was really named that for that reason. But it kind of, sometimes it's helpful to sidestep those types of crippling questions. Okay? So my point is, so let's focus on the idea. Who cares? Why would you call the place of couples? What's the point of that? And four couples, there are two points. There's couples and then there's four couples.
I mean, it seems like it's just connected, like, kind of ad hoc.
Right.
If you have a couple, I mean, there's better, I don't know.
Better ways to say that. Yeah, right. So, but it could be ad hoc. It could be there's a concept which it hints to couples. That's not the pshat and what it means, but Chazal want to bring out that it is a place of couples, and maybe that's important. But, like, couples, it's just a strange, who cares couples? Like, what is it, like sounds like a social event or something. What's the significance of having it, you know, that name being connected to couples? Any thoughts?
I'm sorry, can you restate the question?
What's the significance of the fact that it's a place of couples? The Maris Machpelah is a place of couples. Couples, doubles, either way, I don't know, that means the same thing, roughly, no?
Okay.
Right, and the couples, the married couples. Four pairs, four couples, right? Zugos, whatever word you want to use for it, but it seems like there's a significance in that fact. Okay, any thoughts? Okay. So one thought which I thought is that you go to Maris Machpelah and it's supposed to remind you of the lives of the Avos. And it's supposed to remind you of the lives of the Imahos. A person could go there, maybe a man could go there, and think about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Or the Imos. A woman could go there, think about the Imos, or the Avos. I mean, whatever is, you know, whatever challenges that a person's facing, you could think of the different, you know, characters and which ones you think fit best your challenges and whatever, right? But it's not just a place of Avos and a place of Imos, but it's a place of couples. Part of Torah has, so to speak, models of how of men, great men. It has models of great women. It has models of great couples. Okay, the unit of Klal Yisrael is not just a man or a woman, but as a couple, as a family. Right? And when one is looking for guidance, part of one's guidance is not just how to live as an individual, but is how to live as a couple, how to set up a house, how to direct a bias in line with building a Klal Yisrael. So it's not just accidental that, you know, it's not like there's a men's cemetery and a woman's cemetery, you know, but there's a couple cemetery. The place where we go and we think of is not just, Klal Yisrael is not just founded on mother and man and war and woman alone, but it's based on the couples, the great, that we have our Avos happen to be married to the Imahos. It's not a happenstance. The models, they lived a life, they built households, families. Like Chazal say, that Avraham would be Mekarev, the Megayer, the man, and a woman, Sarah Megayer, the woman. They worked together. They lived their lives together. They were building Klal Yisrael together. And therefore, when you go to Maris Machpelah, it's not just per chance that there's, you know, that the Dafka wants to bring to mind the concept of the couples, of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, with their Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah, right? So that's, now by pointing that out or building it into the name or having a reference to that in the name, it ensures that it will be etched in the memories of Klal Yisrael as a place of couples. And not just as a place, you won't be able to separate out, so to speak, the men and the women. But it's identified in that way for all of Klal Yisrael as a place of all these couples. You with me so far? So far, so good?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the question now becomes, is how does Adam and Chava get into there? Right? Why did Chazal see fit to project Adam and Chava into Maris Machpelah? Given that, the Torah doesn't mention it. They don't really seem to be our avos. They want to say that we should honor the place of our avos. Fine. They're not quite our avos. I mean, all of mankind traces itself back to Adam and Chava. Or you could argue to Noah, if anything, you know. Is that really like this important idea that this is the burial place? I don't know. I was asking at the Shabbos table, but does anyone who has been to Maris Machpelah recently remember, is there a room for Adam and Chava there? I don't remember that being the case, but I can't say for sure it's not. No one knows. Okay. So, I don't know, but I don't think there is. But whatever, is that such a thing? You go there and you think about Adam and Chava? Like, what's that? What are Adam and Chava? I mean, I understand it's interesting to learn about Adam and Chava, but they're not our avos and our imos. Right? You might even ask a question. I don't know. Did Avram Avinu even know about Adam Rishon? I mean, maybe Hashem told him. But, like, how would he even know? It doesn't seem like they quite knew. I don't know. Is this, like, a Masorah in the world, even, about Adam Rishon? About the story, about the Torah? I mean, I guess if Avram learned Torah, I guess he knew about him. But, you know, it's not clear. So, maybe there's a point that I'm happy for anyone to comment. I'm just kind of talking because no one's speaking up, but feel free to say anything if anyone has a thought.
I have like a shot in the dark idea.
Okay.
You know that, I mean, Adam and Chava were created, you know, like they represent Hashem's will of like human beings. Human beings were created to live a certain way, and because of the consequences of what happened, you know, people got off the path. But maybe somehow being tied back, like the way that Avraham Avinu lived, and then Yitzchak and Yaakov and the Imahos, like everybody represent like a fulfillment of Hashem's will in creating Adam, of how people are supposed to live.
Right. Right. Okay, good. Yeah, okay, so I want to say similar to that, that you shouldn't think that, like, man and those created, man and woman were created to be in a certain way, and then came along Avram and Sarah and Yitzchak and Rivka and Yaakov and Leah, and they changed their game plan. They invented a new way to live. Right? Invented a new way to live. It's like a new invention. Judaism was invented, so to speak, at Avraham Avinu. But no, the way that the Avos and Imos lived was part of the original design in the Bria. Hashem made Adam and Chava to live a life of Shleimas Adam, Vidyas Hashem. Right? That was the blueprint for mankind to live. and arguably they lived in line with those ideals. But mankind as a whole did not really follow that path. For there was a long, circuitous route for 1900 years or so until Avraham Avinu really, you know, began a new mission, if you will, establishing a das and trying to bring these ideas on large to mankind. But it was built into the plan of the Bria. The blueprint of Hashem creating man was to bring about people like Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Yisar, and Rivka, and Rachel, and Maya. That was by design. It's not like a new invention. So it's not like these three couples are, so to speak, standing on the heels, on the shoulders of Adam and Chava. They are, it's like part of, we have to think of them as the culmination of mankind. And Avram and Sarah are the realization of the creation of Adam and Chava. So it's like, by having Adam and Chava there, it brings to mind that they are like model, not just model Jews, but model humans. Models of humanity, models of the way mankind was meant to exist. So I don't know if it even literally means or not that Adam and Chava were buried there. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But the point is that Chazal want reference them, that being there, because the point is the concept is there. Concept that the Avos are not a new thing, but are the culmination of what the objective, the blueprint of man, for man and woman who are, is built, is accomplished by referencing Adam and Chava there. You should think of Adam and Chava, because you should think of Adam and you should think of the Avos and Imos as the realization of what Hashem had in mind, so to speak, when He created Adam and Chava. Although there was a long route, you know, digression of, you know, the Dharmabal and all that. Good? Understand. I mean, couples have kids, and they're the building block of the next generations. Yeah, that's good.
It's like the world is based on man's continuity.
Right, it's like Adam and Chava were given the Tzam Elokim, and Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Yisrael and Rivka and Rachel and Leah are the culmination of the Tzam Elokim, the actualization of the Tzam Elokim, of what it could accomplish and what type of person it could be. But it's like the building blocks of the Avos and Imos as Adam and Chava, the Tzam Elokim, which was given. Isn't that, you know? Okay, now what would you say, unless there's a further question, what would you say now about the Ramban, who's saying the Chutzah Chazal, the Medrash, that Hashem folded Adam in half and buried him there? Okay.
As the wild gap, but he could have been so much taller than he actually was in his life, but because of the mistake he made,
okay, good.
He was half of the man he could have been.
Okay, good. Good. Hey, Allah, right? Okay. Yeah, so let me ask you this. Good approach, but let me ask you if you could. So why is that valuable to teach in Maaseh Machpelah? You know what I mean? Like, you could have taught us that, you know, in Parshas Bereishis or something. Like, why is that relevant here?
Because people will go to the Maaseh Machpelah specifically for the Avos, but while they're there, they should also recognize the concept that's taught by that Medrash about Adam.
Okay.
Who was also buried there.
Okay, good. Good. Okay, someone else? Yeah. Okay, so good. So just to elaborate a little bit, but that you might think of it, there's a little bit of a problem, okay? A little bit of a problem placing Adam and Chava in the Maris Machpelah, okay? And the problem is that when you go to Maris Machpelah, you think of the of Tzidkas, greatness, of the Avos, of the Imos. And when you think of Adam and Chava, you can't help but thinking of Chet. Right? Most of what we know about Adam and Chava, or a large part of what we know, is their Chet. Right? Now we know Adam called names to the animals. He was like a scientist. Okay, fine. It's true. Then they were, you know, made by Hashem. The first man, the first woman, Sal Elkim. That's true, but that's half the picture. The other half of the picture is their Chet. And their banishment from Gan Eden and the klalos, and right? Is that what we should be thinking about when we go to Maris Machpelah? Sin? Messing up? Giving in to our daivas? Is that what we want to be remembering? Is that what we want to be memorializing? So I'd say no. No. We don't want models of chet. We want models of tzidkas. So maybe it's saying is that, but at the same time, we want to think of Adam and Chava. But we want to think of half of Adam and Chava. We want to think of Adam and Chava as the first Sam Elokim. Okay, the first man and woman. The prototypes which were made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which ultimately the Avos and Imahos were bringing to its fullest form. But we don't want to think of Adam and Chava as individuals who did action X and action Y, because the actions, the most memorable actions they did, were sinful. And they were abandoned, they resulted in grave consequences. So maybe it's saying as Hashem folded Adam in half and buried him in half, you know. It means is like, Adam, there's Adam, the first man, and then there's Adam as the particular person named Adam, who did a certain Avera or whatever, you know? And so it's like, it's Adam as the first, the half of, it's only half of him is buried there. And only half of him which we see, so to speak. So it's referencing, the Medrash is referencing that although he's there, there's only, you shouldn't look at him fully, so to speak. And you should think of him in a halfway type of a fashion when you go there. Because you don't want to be we don't focus on him insofar as his actions, but on the fact that he was a Nivra. He was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that perfection. But not on what he did and his actions. So maybe it's just a reference to Machpelah of, like, that's another drasha, is that based upon this idea that we are referencing Adam in the, you know, in the Maris Machpelah, it wants to bring to mind the idea that only halfway, not the full idea. There's half of him which is memorable and which is, you know, going to last, should be memorialized with Oridoros, but not the other half. Yep. What do you guys say?
But aren't the actions that we know that Adam did, like, shape the way that we know who he is? Like, it still seems relevant, even though it's not the half we should be looking at.
Yes, but there is an idea. I mean, it's true it shapes who he is, but that's not I'm claiming is that that's not what should be on our mind's eye when we go to Maris Machpelah. It's like there's an idea of, like, focusing on a person's better side. You know, there's a way to look at a person and to just ignore certain parts of them and focus on other parts of them. When we think of Avos and Imahos, we're thinking of them in total. We're thinking of their whole lives, which are, you know, basically tzidkas through and through. You know? But when we're thinking of Adam and Chava, we're not trying to think of them in that manner. It's like the idea of Adam and Chava is more, and I think it's good what we said before, it's not that we go there and think of them, we go there and think of, it's more of a qualification of the Avos and Imahos. We're thinking of the Avos and the Imahos as the models of humanity, of the culmination of Adam and Chava. So it's Adam and Chava more as the basis, the substratum, the building block on which the Avos and the Imahos are viewed, not when we're thinking of them as, you know, as people in their own right. They aren't, in a certain sense, they aren't four couples. They're three couples who are resting on top of one couple, folded over, so to speak. You know, so, yeah, if we don't think that, and maybe that's why, it could be, that's what I was thinking, is that's why maybe it doesn't say in the Torah anywhere, Adam and Chava were there. Because the Torah doesn't want to draw your attention. And there's no, you know, I don't know who made these or whatever, but we don't go there. You don't have Adam and Chava chambers. It's like you don't want people to be consciously thinking about the lives of Adam and Chava when they're there. There's a value to referencing Adam and Chava, because there's a concept to be referenced, but at the same time, they're not explicitly there. Because putting them there explicitly would bring with them all of the associations to them. And that's not really what you want to accomplish. You don't want to go there and think about Adam and Chava per se in a full way. It's just you want to think about Avram, Yisrael, and Yaakov, Sarifka, and Rachel, Leah as the, or minus Rachel, as the embodiment of Adam and Chava, as the full realization of what a human being, what human beings, what couples should be like. You with me?
Yes.
Who's that, by the way? Michal?
Michal.
Okay, I thought so. Yeah. Okay, well, one other point I wanted to mention, and this is, there's a whole different shiur I gave about this. But I don't know. I don't know if any of you were there or not. Maybe some of you. But it's very much on point. Which is, there's a chazal which says, when Yaakov saw Rachel for the first time, it says he kissed her, he hugged her, and he cried. Right? So the question is, why did he cry? So Rashi says, because he saw in Rosh HaKodesh or something like that he wasn't going to be buried with her. Right? So he said, that's a strange thing. That's his Rosh HaKodesh at that moment, that he, you know, he's not going to be buried with her. It's kind of morbid also, you know? Right? So the pshat we wanted to say was that it is interesting altogether that he wasn't buried with her. If you'd think, in a certain sense, his primary wife, you'd think his chosen wife was really Rachel. But yet, he wasn't buried with Rachel, he was buried with Leah. And what we wanted to say is that if you look at the way the Torah depicts the relationship of like Yaakov and Rachel, it's almost like a love at first sight type of a relationship. And you see, he loved Rachel right from the very beginning, all the way through. Leah was not his chosen wife. Leah was not, he didn't really love her. At some point he seems to come around to it. But Rachel, on the other hand, it's depicted, he saw her and he fell in love with her and he was waiting, loved her so much for years to finally get her. And all through and through, his love was with Rachel. And it could be is that that was, on the one hand, that was great for him. On the other hand, he knew that that was not the relationship which was to be eternalized, the Dori Doros. When you go into Maris Machpelah, you don't want to think, you don't want people to be thinking of a lovesick couple, so to speak. You don't want to bring to mind the associations of love at first sight and the couple, like the romantic element of the couples. That's not the thoughts. Even though there are couples in Maris Machpelah, it's not like romance couples. That's not the appropriate, you know, thoughts. It's couples of building Klal Yisrael. Families designed building around Klal Yisrael. And if you want to think of which wife represented that relationship to Yaakov, it was Leah. Leah, because constantly she had six of the Shvatim, and she had, right, and her names were all reflective of the fact, now my husband will be with me because I have all these kids. That she was basically, even though he didn't love her on a purely emotional level, at least certainly not at first, but he grew to love her because she was the have majority or half of the Shvatim, and therefore their relationship was a relationship built around building Klal Yisrael. So that was the relationship which was chosen to be eternalized was that of Yaakov and Leah. And it could be that what we're saying is that when Yaakov saw Rachel, and he loved her so much right away, he had a sense that this is great, he loves her so much, and he was happy about that, but there's something sad about it, because he thought, this is not necessarily going to be good for the future of Klal Yisrael. This relationship, saying that he's not going to be buried there, we're not going to be buried together, there's a sadness, means that this romantic, you know, feeling which they had, although it was special for them, he sensed that this is not, in a certain sense, this is not appropriate for the internalization of Klal Yisrael. And that they're not being buried together is the expression of that, of the fact that that was not chosen to be. They weren't finally resting together, you know? That's not the idea that Akash Baruch Hu saw fit to eternalize in Marzal Machpelah. And like the Ruach HaKodesh means he had a sense of that. I don't know if he knew exactly what was going to happen and it was all going to pan out, but he had a certain sense, there was a crying, which he loved her, but at the same time his life was built around continuing Klal Yisrael, and he had a sense that this is not really something which is, it's good, it's a personal good, but it's not a good for Klal Yisrael. So, my point is, it's similar to this point of like, it's there's a chachma to what, who and what we think about when we go to Maris Machpelah. It's not simple. You may be dumb, well, not so fast. Some about them. Yaakov and Rachel, Leah's better, you know? Okay, what do you think? Any questions, comments?
Yeah, I have a question. Are you saying that it's, I don't know, I was just kind of thinking about Yaakov and his feelings for Yosef that eventually had to be overcome that were related to Rachel. Are you saying that it was, like, something that was important to, like, uproot, or that it was not something so strong, but just something that didn't belong in
I'm not saying he's uproot. There was nothing wrong with it for him. He felt that way, and it was great for him, and arguably he was, you know, he was happy. No, I'm not Ted, I don't want to deprive him of that benefit, of that enjoyment. There's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
It's human nature. But that doesn't mean, just because it's human nature and it's special and it's nice and all that, doesn't mean that's what you want people thinking about when you go to Maris Machpelah. You know? Like you, that's like a nice, you could study it, and it has a place, and it's, Yaakov is a human being, and that is part of the way he felt, and, you know? But Maris Machpelah is supposed to be, so to speak, inspirational about the ideals which they lived by, not them as, you know, a couple, you know, high school sweethearts, so to speak. Or, you know, that's just not the mindset. That's not what the Avos and Imahos, the couples, should represent. It's not couples as you know, romantic couples. It's couples as families building the next generation.
I have a question about just the concept that it's implying that it's recommended to visit the Kever Avos, right? So it's a good thing to be in the proximity and physical location because it brings forth all these ideas, right? So then why is it that there's a concept of Tamei Lameis and the Kohen is not allowed to visit? It would be good for their perfection. It would be good for their perfection to visit Kibri Tzadikim. Then why are they not allowed to go to Maris
Machpelah? There are a lot of different values. Like, it might be valuable for a person to mourn his relatives, but the Kohen Gadol doesn't do so because he's dedicated to the Mikdash and he doesn't remove himself from the base of Mikdash even to mourn his own relatives. So there are a lot of things to consider in Halacha. So while it might be true that there's a value to going to Maris Machpelah or to any base of Kfaros, maybe to think about mortality and all that, but there's also an idea of a Kohen, which is a different study, but of a Kohen being always prepared, ready for Avodah, and not to take himself away from that Tumas Meis. You know, so there are pros and cons. So apparently the idea is not valuable enough to basically undermine the kahuna. And the idea of the idea which is embedded in the Kohen not becoming Tamei Lameis. And in theory, a Kohen, like anybody, could attain these ideas without going to the Kepesek Paros. Is there an advantage to going there? Yeah, there's an advantage. But there's also an advantage to being a Kohen. And that advantage, you know, carries with it certain trade-offs. There's pros and cons. You know, being a Kohen doesn't own a plot of land in Eretz Yisrael. Being a Kohen, you work in the Smegdash, you don't own the land. Now, is it valuable to own a plot of land in Eretz Yisrael? Yeah, it's valuable, but again, there are different models of the way the Torah sets up the Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, man, woman, and there's a balance, you know, different roles involved, the man, different, you know, rights and privileges and disadvantages as well. I want to mention also is like it's not. There is a value. I'm not necessarily saying that it's always valuable for every person at every time to just go and to visit them, to go to Maris Mapela. There is a value of having a place like that, and of it being available, and of the times people going there. Like for instance, the Kalev at a certain time chose to go there, and it was important for him, and it helped him focus. But there's also a value of learning Chumash and studying them. But somehow having the place there, even if you don't go, I feel like knowing that the place is there and you could go, it helps you relate to the Avos and Imos as more of a reality. Now, going there could impact you. It may not impact you. I mean, it depends. Different stages of one's life. It might or may not. Different types of people, it might or may not. Maybe a certain type of a person is the Avos and Imos are so real to them, more so by reading the Chumash than by going to the place. The place doesn't impact them. But for Klal Yisrael as a whole, for Am Yisrael as a whole, it's valuable to have the location. But whether a given person is, you know, best suited to go there or not, that's a different discussion. You know, when and where and how and, you know. Certainly a person could learn about the Avos and Imos by learning about them, even if they don't go there. And you know, you could go from a distance. You could certainly, you could go near there. I mean, you don't have to go, you know, you're outside the building. You could also think about other, you know, them. Similar way. You don't have to become a Tame. I mean, a Kohen doesn't, you know. Yeah.
Can I ask a practical question?
Yeah.
Do we know for sure that this is the right place?
I don't know for sure, but I think it is. I mean, the current day, modern day place? And I've never researched that, but I would think it is. You know, it seems like Avram specifically chose like a clear demarcated thing, this double cave. It sounds like there was some sort of geographical, it's not just a random spot, but there was some sort of geographical thing with this cave. And presumably we would keep it known, but I don't know. I don't really know. You could check into it yourself. I don't know. I've never heard anyone claim that it isn't, but, you know. I heard that the Ramban Shul is down the block from where the Ramban actually was. You know, the old Ramban Shul has moved over, you know. But I never heard any claim like that about Maris Machpelah. But I don't know, maybe it's not. I don't know.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah. I don't know. Does anyone know? Yeah. All right. So, I guess unless there's any other comments, we'll stop here.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's what I'm claiming. Yeah, to show that humankind have that potential, and Avram and the Avos and Imos aren't just some new fad invention, but they're the culmination of the original plan of the Bria, and they're the fullest realization of the Tzom Elokim, which were implanted in Adam and Chava. Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Okay, any other questions?
Thanks.
Comments? Nope. Okay. So have a good night, everybody.
Thank you. Sure. Okay, good night. Thank you. Good night.